This sound file contains the spoken version of a Wikipedia article on the crash of Imperial Airlines Flight 201/8, recorded by user Pepage. The material recorded is current as of February 15th, 2012. Imperial Airlines Flight 201/8, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, from en.wikipedia.org. Contents. This article contains 8 sections. The sections are Section 1, Flight Crew. Section 2, Flight History. Section 3, Crash. Section 4, Investigation. Section 5, Aftermath. Section 6, See Also. Section 7, Notes. Section 8, External Links. Imperial Airlines Flight 201/8 was a Lockheed Constellation L049 four-engine propliner, registration N2737A, chartered by the United States Army to transport new recruits to Columbia, South Carolina for training. On November 8, 1961, at 21:24 Eastern Time Zone, the aircraft crashed as it attempted to land at Byrd Field near Richmond, Virginia. While there were no apparent impact-related injuries, all 74 passengers and 3 crew members died as a result of carbon monoxide asphyxiation in the ensuing fire and smoke. 2 crew members, the captain and flight engineer, survived after escaping the burning wreckage. This was the second deadliest accident in American history for a single civilian aircraft. The accident was investigated by the Civil Aeronautics Board, which attributed the cause to numerous errors committed by the flight crew, as well as poor management and improper maintenance by the airline. The Civil Aeronautics Board concluded that the, quote, flight crew was not capable of performing the function or assuming the responsibility for the job they presumed to do, end quote. Section 1, Flight Crew. The Lockheed Constellation L049, like many airliners of its era, was normally crewed by 3 individuals: a captain, or pilot in command, in the left seat, a first officer, also known as co-pilot, in the right seat, and a flight engineer in the rear seat. The accident flight crewing was unusual in several respects. First, its first officer was also a captain, who was more senior and had more total flying time and L049 experience than the designated captain. According to later testimony, the 2 captains agreed between them prior to the flight that the more senior one would serve as co-pilot, sitting in the right seat, while the more junior one would serve as pilot in command, sitting in the left seat. Second, the person who was actually sitting in the flight engineer's position was a trainee, a student flight engineer under supervision of the official flight engineer assigned to the flight, who was sitting next to him. As would emerge in later testimony at the post-crash hearing, this crewing combination led to confusion in the cockpit during the final flight segment as to who was making the decisions and giving the orders as pilot in command, and who was operating the engine and fuel controls as flight engineer. Section 2, Flight History. The 4-engine chartered propliner departed Columbia, South Carolina at 15:24 Eastern Time Zone and landed in Newark, New Jersey at 17:37, where it picked up its first group of 26 passengers. It departed at 18:22 for Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, where it picked up 31 additional passengers. At 19:12, it departed for Baltimore, Maryland, where it picked up a final group of 17 passengers and departed for South Carolina at 20:30. During these flight segments, as he would later testify at the Civil Aeronautics Board hearing, the flight engineer opened the crossfeed valves between the number 3 and number 4 engines, since he had seen a drop in fuel pressure on the number 3 fuel pressure gauge after the initial takeoff from Columbia. During the final flight segment from Baltimore to Columbia, The crew experienced fuel flow disruptions to both right-side engines, eventually leading both of them to shut down, after multiple unsuccessful attempts by the crew to restore proper fuel flow and engine operation. Flying with asymmetrical thrust from the two left-side engines, which were operating normally at that point, the captain decided to land in Byrd Field, now called Richmond International Airport, near Richmond, Virginia, as a precaution. Section 3. Crash. As the crew attempted to extend the gear for landing, they encountered difficulties. Since hydraulic power to the landing gear in that aircraft was normally supplied by the two right-side engines, now shut down. The crew initially selected runway 33 for landing, then decided on runway 2, and when they realized they were too high for landing on runway 2, they decided to climb and go around for runway 33 again, while climbing on the two operating engines with asymmetrical thrust. The number one engine, outboard on left side, failed due to overboosting, leading to a rapid loss of airspeed and eventual stall. The aircraft crashed into trees and a fire broke out, which engulfed the entire aircraft in flames and smoke. The captain and flight engineer were able to escape, but all others were trapped inside the wreckage and were overcome by carbon monoxide poisoning before they could exit, as later autopsies would reveal. Section 4. Investigation. The accident was investigated by the Civil Aeronautics Board and included two hearings where, among others, the surviving captain and flight engineer testified. Based on their investigation, the Civil Aeronautics Board concluded that the momentary fuel pressure fluctuations in the number 3 and 4 right-side engines noticed by the flight engineer during takeoff were most likely caused by a boost pump failure and did not necessitate any action as long as the engines kept running normally. According to the Civil Aeronautics Board, by opening the cross-feed valves between the number 3 and 4 fuel tanks and leaving them open with the boost pump on for much of the flight engineer most likely caused the number 4 tank to run dry, resulting in the failure of both right-side engines due to fuel exhaustion or starvation during the final flight segment. The Civil Aeronautics Board concluded that, had proper fuel management procedures been followed, all engines would have kept running normally, or even restarted once they shut down. The Constellation crew, however, mismanaged the fuel flow to the right-side engines, causing them to shut down and were unable to restart them. During the ensuing precautionary landing, which resulted in the crash, additional flight crew mistakes were highlighted by the Civil Aeronautics Board investigators, who were highly critical of Imperial Airlines management, maintenance, and flying procedures. The Civil Aeronautics Board's final report stated, quote, "From a study of all the information available to the board, it is concluded that this flight crew was not capable of performing the function or assuming the responsibility for the job they presumed to do." The board further concludes that the management personnel of Imperial Airlines should have been aware of the manner in which company operations were being accomplished. It is believed that the substandard maintenance practices of Imperial's employees were condoned by management. The manner in which maintenance and personnel records were kept by the company confirms this conclusion. End quote. The Civil Aeronautics Board issued the following probable cause statement. Quote, "The board determines the probable cause of this accident was the lack of command coordination and decision, lack of judgment, and lack of knowledge of the resulting in loss of power in 3 engines, creating an emergency situation which the crew could not handle." End quote. Section 5. Aftermath. After the accident, it was revealed that Imperial Airlines had been fined in 1959 for flying 30 Marines in an unairworthy C-46, and in 1953, under its previous name of Regina Cargo Airlines, 19 soldiers had been killed in a crash near Centralia, Washington, while being transported in a Douglas DC-3 owned by the company. Time News magazine reported that statistically, the non-skeds in general were more than 30 times as dangerous in the number of fatalities per passenger mile as the scheduled airlines in 1961. According to Time, the U.S. military had been effectively forced to rely on non-skeds, such as Imperial Airlines, to carry troops within the U.S. because of the combination of two laws. First, the Congress had mandated the use of civilian air carriers, for economic reasons, and second, the Pentagon was obligated to bid for such services and select the lowest bidder, which often turned out to be financially unsound companies with a poor safety record. As a result of the accident, the Congress became concerned about the safety practices of the non-skeds, or supplemental carriers. The chairman of the Senate Aviation Subcommittee, A.S. Mike Monroney, immediately sent a telegram to the Civil Aeronautics Board urging a sweeping probe of the supplemental carrier industry. By 1962, Congress passed a law requiring all supplemental carriers to reapply for certification by the Civil Aeronautics Board, to carry liability insurance, and to maintain a healthier financial status. The new rules caused some 20 non-skids to go out of business, but within 5 years, the industry was booming again, partly due to the troop and equipment carrying needs of the Vietnam War. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 Unported License, available at creativecommons.org.